This is Donna Levine Small on WART Radio in Marshall, North Carolina, and this is Writer's Words. My special guest today is Jean Charters. Many of you know her from WNC Woman Magazine, where she writes a monthly column called Funny, Isn't It? And today we're going to talk mostly about the historical novel she's written entitled Shanty Gold, published by Rogue Phoenix Press. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And Jean's husband, Matt, is also here, and he set up an iPod to play some Irish music later on when Jean does a reading in honor of her book. And also in honor of St. Patrick's Day, which is tomorrow.
Absolutely. Gotta have music.
Yes, yes. So, Jean, let's start at the beginning. You grew up in Ohio.
I did. I grew up in Springfield, Ohio, a small town between Dayton and Columbus. And, yeah, it was great.
So you're 100% Irish.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
I am, yeah. And my daughters are also 100% Irish because my first husband was 100% Irish.
Uh-huh.
Springfield was kind of an Irish town. You know, there were a lot of Irish people and a lot of German people and not much else. That was kind of there were a lot of African American people. And I take pride in the fact that Springfield, Ohio, I think, had the first female African American mayor in the country. At least that's what I was told.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So your mother and your aunt used to tell you about your great-great-grandmother, Mary Boland.
Correct.
So talk a bit about that.
I heard that name throughout my childhood, Mary Boland, and just the way they spoke of her, it created a lot of mystery in my mind as a little kid, you know, which is wonderful. There were no records of her. There were no pictures of her. I knew nothing about the woman. But I started having dreams when I was a kid. And this beautiful, young, strong-looking woman with long, red, curly hair was riding her chestnut horse along the Irish seacoast. And then she would come to me and she'd say, "Tell my story," which was pretty tough since I knew nothing about her. But my husband and I, Matt and I, we've been to Ireland a number of times, and we started looking for her, you know, for the name Boland in phone books, and my family spelled it B-O-L-E-N, but that was probably, you know, these people got off the boat and they were, you know, pretty illiterate, so that was probably just a phonetic thing they picked up. But, she wanted her story told, but Matt and I could not find the name B-O-L-E-N anywhere in Ireland. But we found a lot of B-O-L-A-N-D, so I just assumed that was the way she spelled her name.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way you spelled it in your book.
I did.
Yes, with your main character.
Yeah.
So before even embarking upon writing Shanty Gold about Mary Boland, you raised four daughters.
I did. As a single mom. Yeah.
And worked as VP of marketing for Viacom TV.
I did.
What did you do there?
I basically traveled around a lot to television stations and set up, vendor programs, marketing programs for the TV stations. And it got old real fast.
Mm-hmm.
I was like sitting in airports thinking, what town am I in now? And it was that was not a happy time for me. I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was actually going to a stress management psychologist about that. And he said, "Your problem is that your ethics are in direct conflict with the job you're doing." So it was not good. It was not good at all. My husband was great. He supported me through that, but, not financially. I was making a lot of money, but the money really didn't make up for the misery.
Yeah. I guess there are a lot of jobs like that, really.
Yeah.
That we all get stuck in for some reason or another. And you had four children to
raise. There's status, there's money, and it's quite a trip.
Mm-hmm.
But, not a happy one.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you were able to change your circumstances. And later on, you opened Charters Marketing with
right.
your husband, Matt. Are you still doing that now?
No, I'm not. When I did it until about 4 years ago, and because we moved from New York to Asheville 14 years ago, I think. It was 2001. We moved September 11th, 2001,
oh.
believe it or not.
Oh, my.
And we bought a house in Fairview, and we had no idea anything had happened in New York until the moving trucks pulled up and told us what had happened in New York.
Where in New York did you move from?
We moved from Albany, New York, which is, you know, about 3 hours north mm-hmm. of Manhattan. But it still it was so tragic. It impacted everyone's
awful.
Life.
Yeah.
I think it changed a lot for the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, terrible, terrible time.
Terrible
Just
time.
Terrible.
Yeah.
There's hardly any words for it, really. I mean, a lot of books have been written, a lot of people talk about it, but the horror of it is just was
just changed. It changed things.
Mm-hmm.
It did. It changed this country a lot. It made us fearful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like we're all right in the midst of a big presidential campaign or, you know, a big political campaign.
Yeah.
And I see certain of the, you know, politicians playing into fear to such an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And it started then. I don't think we were all that fearful before, you know, September 11th.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think what another thing that really distressed me is that some people in the town where I was living at the time, I was terribly upset.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody called me up on the phone, someone who had been raised in that area, country area, and said, "Are you upset because you were raised in New York?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no understanding that our country was attacked.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, a lot of people had this idea that it happened in New York. New York was attacked, but it has nothing to do with me.
No.
And that's grave misunderstanding.
Grave misunderstanding, yeah. Because it impacted this whole country enormously.
Oh, yeah, the whole world.
And
I
the
think,
world.
As well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, what a day to move.
Yeah.
Oof.
It was awful.
It was terrible. So, you started writing about Mary Boland, your main character in your book, Shanty Gold, after a teacher told you to write what you don't know about what you do know.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, so talk about that a little bit.
It's I was accepted into the New York Writers Institute, under William Kennedy. William Kennedy, who wrote Ironweed, won a Pulitzer, and he started the Writers Institute in New York. And I looked in the paper one day, and they had they were going to have a class in that institute, and it was going to be taught by the poet laureate of Ireland, John Montagu, at the time. And I hadn't written in years. I mean, I wrote as a kid all the time, but then other than writing a lot of commercials and things, you know, business writing, I hadn't done a lot of writing. And I just thought, I'm going to try this. So I sat down and started a book and sent in the first few pages, and I was thrilled I was accepted into that group. There were only 10 of us, and two of us were women. And anyway, John Montagu, who's the poet laureate of Ireland, said one thing that just knocked my socks off, and he said, "Write what you don't know about what you do know." And I was like, oh my God, that gives you such freedom. You know, and that's when I clicked on Mary Boland, because I knew nothing about her, but I was still intrigued with the woman. So I decided to write what I don't know about what I do know about my great-grandmother. And I think she was my great-great-grandmother. I'm not real clear on that. But that was great. There was freedom. And it was, you know, and as I said, Matt and I traveled a lot to Ireland. And I got caught up in the mysticalness of that country. It's mm-hmm. just, you feel it. You really feel
it. It's a beautiful country.
It's a beautiful country.
Country.
And you know what? In honor of good old St. Patrick, who we celebrate tomorrow, I want to give him a little credit. He was there in like the 5th century, and it was totally pagan, and he was trying to bring Christianity into that country. And what I like about him is that he did not destroy the paganism of Ireland. You know, if you go over there, there are springs, there are all kinds of artifacts, there are all kinds of stone circles and everything, still in the pagan tradition. And he brought Christianity, but they still have a lot of the pagan stuff going on over there, too.
Mm-hmm. So, Shanty Gold, your novel, is an historical novel, begins in Ireland in 1849 with Mary Boland walking to board a coffin ship.
Right.
That's going to take her to Boston. Tell us about what a coffin ship was.
Well, first I want to tell you that she was escaping the Great Famine, which was 1845 to 1855 in Ireland. And during that time period, Ireland lost half its population, either to death or to people getting on ships out. If you had no money, and she sure didn't, she didn't have a penny or a farthing in her boot, there were things called coffin ships. And they were owned by the British, and they had a lot of insurance on those ships. They were not seaworthy. They were, you know, they were terrible things. They were infested with rats and everything else. And they didn't really put enough food and water in the ships to last the people for the trip because they were pretty sure most of them would die on the way over. So they, it was really nasty. It was really nasty. But, I mean, she didn't know getting on this ship that it was a coffin ship, but in fact it was. And, yeah, she had a really, she had, what happened to her was in the Cork Harbor, which she eventually got to, she met a British woman who took her under her wing and, you know, dressed her, gave her her first real bath in a bathtub, and got a dress for her from the church basement. First, like, dress Mary had ever had on that wasn't just gunny sack material. And the girl was, like, thrilled with this attention and with this woman helping her. But, in fact, the woman sold her to the crew of Coffin Ship as a sex slave. So it was awful.
Yeah, terrible thing that happened to her. So